الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
My dear respected elders, brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made zulm and oppression haram upon human beings. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَحَرَّمَ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. And Allah made zulm haram upon himself, that he would not be unjust to anyone. And whenever we ask from Allah, let's not ask for his justice, because we are too weak to stand up to the justice of Allah. We should always ask Allah for his mercy. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not zalim, he does not make zulm on anyone, hence he created mankind and created Jannah and Jahannam, and he gave insan aql and intelligence to comprehend and perceive. Sanurihim, we will show them our ayat fil afaq wa fi anfusihim. From time to time, sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes on a monthly basis, sometimes on a yearly basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will manifest various signs before mankind for them to realize Allah is the creator. Even the kuffar and the non-Muslims will be exposed to great signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is to justify that on the day of Qiyamah, when they come to Allah, they cannot say, "We did not know." Allah will say, "We showed you our signs." And the signs were manifested to you in the heavens, on the horizon, in yourselves. I would love to, I know our topic is Quran, the miracles of the Quran from a scientific view, and I'm going to that. But the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only confined in the Quran. Yet because it's the word of Allah, it's the kalam of Allah, every ayat and every verse has great signs in it. But even out of the kitab of Allah, there are many signs. Because perhaps someone may say that I don't understand the Quran. I cannot understand the Quran al-Kareem. So how do those signs of Allah hit me? So Allah Ta'ala has put for you signs even outside the Quran. The Quran, signs of Allah is not confined and restricted to only the Quran. And on whilst we are on the subject about I'm not understanding the Quran, do not ever think that because I'm reciting the Quran al-Kareem and not understanding it, there's no benefit for me. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an example of tawaf for reciting the Quran, he said, "He who reads a letter gets 10 rewards. La aqulu alif lam mim harfun." I am not saying that alif lam mim is one letter. I say alif is a letter, lam is a letter, mim is a letter, and there are 30 rewards only for alif lam mim. And there's some 123,600 and some letters in the Quran al-Kareem. Sorry, 223,600 and some letters in the Quran al-Kareem. So if a person recites the Quran once, 2.3 something million reward. The example Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave for acquiring the reward is al-Islam means. For my and your information, no one understands what the meaning of al-Islam means. Even the greatest of ulama, والراسخين في العلم يقولون آمنا به. When the حروف مقطعات, they are called the decisive letters of the Quran. حامين, حامين, عين, سين, قاف, ألف, لام, ميم. These, the ulama are of the opinion that only Allah knows it. So when we don't know the meaning of al-Islam, no alim, no scholar can claim that he knows the accurate meaning of al-Islam, but yet he's receiving a reward for it. So that is actually a condolence to humanity, that even if you read the Quran al-Karim without understanding, although it is meritorious and beneficial to learn it, that your Allah is speaking to you, and you understand what he says, but just reading the Quran without understanding has its merits. So سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتْنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ, we will show them that his, our ayat in the horizon, around them. Whether it means the eclipse, solar eclipse or lunar eclipse. Whether it means the galaxies and the stars, the moon and the sun, the night and the day. وَفِي أَنْفُسِهِمْ, in their own selves. Each one of you is a living miracle. I share with you something, and the reason for me sharing with you is only to increase our iman. When I was born, I had three holes in my heart, and all my valves were broken. Can anyone say a child that was born with three holes and all his valves is broken, when the doctors gave up hope that within 4 days this child is going to die? That time to live 1 hour more was a great thing. And who would know, some 32 years later, I'll be sitting in Sri Lanka telling you this story. My mother and my grandfather cried to Allah and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me cure and shifa. And he would dedicate me to his path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the du'as. And a Jewish doctor from England came up with a very weird treatment. In those days there was no laser, so they could not blast the holes closed. So he says, we will take the lining of a cow's heart. Take a cow's heart or an ox heart and take the lining of it, and we will repair the heart of the child. So that's what they done. They took the lining of an ox heart and they repaired the holes in the heart. Three holes. And they repaired the valves. I was over 3 to 4 months straight in the hospital under observation. I was being used in experiments to experiment if it works or not. And obviously it's not the doing of the doctors, but it's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I lived for another year or so, but the heart was growing. And the lining of the cow's heart has no life, so it began to stretch. So every year and a half, 2 years, they had to re-operate and renew the lining of the heart. And in that way, 3 to 4 operations, several times they changed the lining of the heart, until alhamdulillah the technology of laser came out, and then it was closed with laser. There alhamdulillah I'm in front of you still living. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all a long life inshaAllah. The only reason I say this is to show you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves to you time and again in yourself and around you with the thousands of miracles that there's a creator above. Coming towards the Quran al-Kareem, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the description of the Quran in this way. Kitabullah, it is the kitab and the book of Allah. نَفِيهِ نَبَأُ مَا قَبْلَكُمْ, it is a Quran that tells you decisively of the stories of those before you. وَخَبْرُ مَا بَعْدَكُمْ, and alhamdulillah, because it is the word of Allah, It foretells you of many things that will happen in the future. وَحُكْمُ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ. If you quarrel, the Qur'an is the best solution to solve your quarrels among yourselves. وَالْفَصْلُ لَيْسَ بِالْهَدَرِ. It's of very serious nature. It is not a joke or a jest. مَنْ تَرَكَهُ مِنْ جَبَّارٍ قَسَمَهُ اللَّهُ. If anyone turns away from the Qur'an because of his self-pride, Allah promises to break him in pieces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him down. وَمَنِ ابْتَغَى الْحَجَّ فِي غَيْرِهِ أَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ. And he who tries to seek guidance in anything but the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lead him astray. Then furthermore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something very beautiful. وَلَا يَشْبَعْ بِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. The researchers of the entire world can come together to try to discover and uncover the secrets of the Qur'an al-Kareem. They will go on and on and on. And the miracles of the Qur'an al-Kareem will be exposed and people will benefit. But there will be no end. The treasures of the Qur'an is limitless. لا يشبع به العلماء. The ulama will never get tired of unearthing the treasures of the Qur'an al-Kareem. وَلَا يُخْلَقْ أَنْ كَثْرَةِ الرَّدْ. Any book you read it twice or thrice to get tired. The Qur'an al-Kareem is such a book that you may repeat 1,000 times. Every time you read Surah Al-Fatiha, there's a different sweetness to it. It does not get boring by repeating often. وَلَا يَقْتَ بِعَجَائِبُ. The ajaib and the unique things of the Qur'an al-Kareem will never ever come to an end. مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهِ عُجِّرْ. The person that walks on the Qur'an and makes amal on the Qur'an will be greatly rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's discourse is not designed to go through the hundreds of miracles, science miracles in the Qur'an al-Kareem. Firstly, we will not be able to even encompass them all. But rather, what I'm trying to do is just open up the topic for you to pursue yourself. Many people, perhaps their mind has not gone in this angle. So I'm opening this door for you, and after opening the door, I leave it to you to research. The Qur'an is not a science book. The Qur'an is a book of Hidayah. And that is outlined and highlighted on the first page of the Qur'an. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a book of guidance for those that seek it. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the Arabs, at that time, the Arabs, they were living in paganism. They were living in very strange cults. They would burn fires and believe there were spirits in the smoke. They were utterly ignorant. They did not even know whether the earth is flat or whether the earth is round. And until that time, they believed that the sky was leaning, the sky had pillars. And the sky was leaning on the mountains. The mountains were like pillars, like you see the pillars, holding up the sky. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified the doubt in their mind and said, رَفَعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding the sky up as your roof, بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا, without any pillars. The mountains are just but tents to hold the earth stable, but they are not pillars for the sky to be upheld. The Arabs was very difficult for them to understand that. Then, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two superpowers of the time was the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. The Romans were always fighting the Persians were always fighting the Romans. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his da'wah in Makkah al-Mukarramah, naturally he felt for and he supported the Romans because they were Ahlul Kitab, they were the people of the book. They believed in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the mushrikeen of Makkah al-Mukarramah supported the Persians because the Persians were fire worshippers, they were mushrikeen. So they were idol worshippers, so they paired up with the Persians. So whenever the Persians and the Romans were fighting, the Meccans, the Quraysh supported the Persians and the Muslims supported the Romans. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he was in Makkah, the Persians fought the Romans and gave them a total defeat. If you read up that particular battle, the Persians marched right into the Roman land. They killed thousands of them. They crippled their economy. Anyone that studied those battles will say that the Romans were defeated for the next 1,000 years. The Persians burnt their churches, killed their priests, killed thousands of children, crippled their economy, stopped their trade, to the extent that it would take them a good several 100 years to stand up again, let alone even attempting to try to fight the Persians again. And when this happened, it caused much joy among the Kuffar of Makkah, because they supported the Persians, and they began to say, like how the Persians defeated the Romans, very soon the time will come, we will defeat Muhammad and his followers. So Abu Jahl was there, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu has a speech with Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl tells Abu Bakr that see, that our folks and our brethren in Persia have done this to the Romans, and soon we will do the same to you. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is very hurt and hard sore. And he comes for salate to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoles him. And he waits for wahy. And wahy comes. Alif lam mim. غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين. Rome has been defeated. And this took place in the most distant and lowest part of the earth. But they will very soon come up and defeat the Persians. وَمِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبٍ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. In a very few years. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr, go and tell Abu Jahl that very soon the tables are going to change and the Romans are going to defeat the Persians. This was the biggest joke ever to the ears of the mushrikeen. As I told you, for 100 or 200 years, it was unconceivable that they could actually come back to power. So when Abu Jahl heard this, he had a good laugh. And he says, this is impossible. So let's take a bet. Now a two-way bet is haram, but a one-way bet is halal. So Abu Jahl says, listen. And perhaps at that time, the betting or not, the ahkam was not still revealed. So he says to Abu Bakr, okay, let's do it such that if the Romans pursue and are victorious over the Persians, then I will give you 100 jamals. And if not, then you must give me 100 jamals. And at the moment, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted. Now the problem was, he never consulted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he came back and said, Ya Rasulullah, I already took the pledge with Abu Jahl. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let it be. For the Quran is saying it will happen. There's no doubt about it. You know when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Mi'raj, and Abu Jahl came and he told Abu Bakr, "Oh Abu Bakr, you know your prophet claims that he went for Mi'raj." What did Abu Bakr say? If he said so, then I believe it. So the ulama says that Abu Jahl heard the news directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he never believed. And Abu Bakr heard the news from Abu Jahl and he believed. This was the iman of Abu Bakr. Several years went, and still the Romans never come up. There was no battle. The Persians weren't being defeated. So every time Abu Jahl would pass Abu Bakr, my 100 camels. Very soon my 100 camels will have to give. So Abu Bakr went again to Rasulullah and said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is what it is." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What is the meaning of bid'atini?" Bid'ah in Arabic means anything from 7 to 9 to 11. So did 11 years pass? He says, no. Still less than that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let the entire 11 years pass, and if it does pass and nothing happens, then, you know, they can laugh at us. But until that time, wait for what the Quran says. In that interim, the Muslimin made hijrah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. And as the Kuffar marched to the battle of Badr, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came for Badr, as the Muslims were fighting the Mushrikeen in the battle of Badr, the Persians again came to attack the Romans, and the Romans regrouped and they were fighting at the same time. And as the Muslims beat and were victorious over the Kuffar on the battle of Badr, as they were coming back to Medina, the news came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the Romans crushing the Persians. But very unfortunate to Abu Bakr, because Abu Jahl was killed in battle of Badr. So this is the miracle of the foretelling of the Quran. Now look at the scientific miracle in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the battle that took place between the Romans and the Persians fi ajnal ard, in the most lowest part of the earth. At that time I told you the pagan Arabs were still grappling with the fact whether the earth is round or whether the earth is flat, whether the mountains are holding up the skies or not, let alone they never even discover half of the earth. Perhaps Australasia and the Americas were not even discovered by them. Besides, they did not even have the adequate instruments for measuring the highest point and the lowest point of the earth. And at that time, the Quran says that the battle took place at the lowest portion of the earth, Adnal Ard. In this century, or last century, we find out, through the light of geography and science, that the lowest part of the earth is the basin of the Dead Sea, which is 390 meters below sea level. 390 meters below sea level. And then when you go back to the books of history and study, where was the battle between the Romans and the Persians? It affirms it was exactly in the basin of the Red Sea, of the Dead Sea. So 1400 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us already that's the lowest portion of the earth. And today we're discovering, yes it is. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَالذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوًا, the sky full of paths and orbits. The sky full of paths and orbits. And in another ayat Allah ta'ala says, وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ, each one of them is harmoniously, peacefully going in its track. There are more than 200 billion galaxies and millions of stars. And if one has a closer look and study, you will find that sometimes there are huge masses that are approaching and there are smaller ones that are coming. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the big one to have a huge hole to allow the small one to pass through. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكِ يَسْبَحُونَ. Each one of them harmoniously and peacefully is moving in their track. So fine, mashallah, the small one is coming and the big one is coming. There have been much observations where the huger ones have holes in them to allow the smaller ones to pass through. If we have a, you know, few thousands of people, we know the traffic on the roads. How much traffic? And imagine in the outer atmosphere, billions and millions of galaxies, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coordinates a system in the entire atmosphere for everything to move peacefully. This is again told to us 1400 years ago by the Quran al-Kareem, which is only being found out now. So Allah ta'ala says furthermore, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. A qasam on the sky, وَالطَّارِقِ, and its cyclical systems. Cyclical systems and its different pathways. So Allah is referring to the different pathways in the sky. What would the Arabs at that time understand about the cyclical systems and the different pathways, except that there are seven heavens and that's it? What's beyond and what's the reason for each one is also mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. If you study science, you will learn that there's different stages in the sky after 13 kilometers, after 15 kilometers, after 20 kilometers. The ionosphere, troposphere, the ozone layer. So Allah Ta'ala refers to one layer as وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. Raja means something that catches and returns. So first, he highlighted that the sky has different layers. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. One of that layers is a layer that attracts and puts down again, pushes down again. And that is, subhanAllah, understood today in science, where water is attracted to the sky, the rays of the sun, clouds are formed, and drains back to the earth. والسماء, the sky, ذات الرجع, that returns back to the earth. وجعلنا السماء سقفا محفوظا. And we have made the sky a protective shield. The ozone layer. There Allah is talking about it in the Quran al-Kareem. One flare from the sun is so powerful. If there was absolutely no protective shield over our earth, one flare from the sun could cause the destruction of 200 million nuclear bombs. The destruction that happened in Hiroshima multiplying 200 million times by one flare of the sun. The earth would be burnt, we all would be gone. But yet Allah put the protective shield for us, and He speaks about it in the Quran al-Kareem. How many stray meteors coming towards our earth, what is then rebounding it away? وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا. The core of the earth is nickel. It has a magnetic force that is pulling various other small metals in the atmosphere towards the earth. And had there not been this protective shield, we would all have been bombarded. Then Allah Ta'ala says something in Surah Hadith. And the numerical value of iron in ore is 67. And the surah, oh, in the Quran al-Kareem, Surah 57 is Surah Al-Hadith, the Surah of Iron. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ. We have brought iron down from the sky. Now I ask you, where does iron come from? Do you see sheets of iron, mashallah, coming from the sky? Iron comes down from the sky? No. We mine. Comes from the earth. So when iron is coming from the earth, Then why Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, we brought iron from the sky. The matter which causes iron to have, and Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهِ بَعْضٍ شَدِيدٍ, we have made great strength in iron. Iron would not be iron if it doesn't have strength. It's because of the strength in iron that it makes it iron and ore. Now that structural material that gives the iron its strength, scientists today say it needs more than 2,000 Fahrenheit of heat to be formed. Which anyway, in the first 100 kilometers from the surface of the earth down, there's no such heat measurable to 2,000 Fahrenheit. So then where does the iron absorb those materials to give it its ore? Science tell us that these particles is created when there's an explosion on the star. They call it the nova or supernova. So when there's a nova and a supernova and there's an explosion, tiny particles come to the earth. And those articles come onto the sand and into the earth. And those articles are then mixed with other materials which finally form iron. So when Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, we brought iron down from the sky, it's perfect. It's accurate. Because the heat to create that material is 2,000 Fahrenheit and it cannot be created on the surface of the earth. It's created in an explosion, on a nova or supernova, which finally sends particles down. Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِنَةً وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ الصَّحَابِ. You see a mountain and you think it's in its place. But Allah Ta'ala says that the mountain is moving like how the clouds move. وَتَرَى الْجِبَالِ, you see the mountain. تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدًا, you think it's in its place. وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ, but it is drifting like how the clouds drift. Perhaps in the past we could not relate to that. But today, scientists are discovering a thing called drifting motion, where the place beneath the mountains shifts. And because of the shifting of the different place under the earth, there's movement in the mountain. And perhaps that's what they say caused different continents to move into different, you know, positions. The evolution theory says that there was a big bang and things were created. Common sense tells you when there's a bang, things are destroyed. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, كَانَتَا رَفْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. The earth and the heavens and everything was joint. And we, فَتَقْنَاهُمَا means to break them apart. And we broke them apart. People do their PhDs to learn these things. And I say, if you do your PhD, there's nothing wrong. But if that is taking you away from Allah, that is teaching you that your forefathers are monkeys, then that PhD stands for permanent head damage. And if that PhD takes you closer to Allah, then it's the pure hidayat of deen. Some people claim that their forefathers were monkeys. And people come to me and other shuyukh and they say, why don't you prove them wrong? I say, everyone has the right to claim their ancestry. If some people claim their forefathers are monkeys, why must I intervene? Good luck with them. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ, the two seas meet. بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ, in between them is a hindrance, an obstacle that does not allow this water to meet with that. Now I knew that, you know that, and you see it. But what is that barzakh? What is that hindrance in between? If I put my hand there, there's no steel wall, there's no brick wall, and today ocean grasses teaches us that there is something called surface tension, which creates that wall between the two seas, which does not allow this water to mix with that and that to mix with this. In the time of Jahiliyyah, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something very strange. They would blame the female for deciding the sex of the child. And if a female gave birth to a female, they would isolate her and embarrass her. They would say that she is of no good. And that's why one lady, she only gave female offspring, and her husband was very angry with her. So she says, مَا لِأَبِي حَمْزَةَ لَا يَأْتِينَ. What's wrong with Abu Hamza? He has abandoned us. أَغَزْبَانٌ أَلَّا نَرِدْ أَلْبَنِينَ. Is he angry with us that we don't give birth to sons? Don't he know that we own zara'ina, وَلَا نَزْرَ إِلَّا لِمَا يُضَعْفِينَ. We just a tillage in a farm, and we only give birth of what the farmer places in us. So, unfortunately, the Arabs would marginalize a woman and isolate her if she only gave birth to female offspring. Then Islam comes, and then the Quran speaks in that environment and atmosphere when every man was believing that the woman is in charge of deciding the sex of the child. And the Quran says, خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْتَى مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ إِذَا تُمْنَى. Allah created the male and the female not from the water of the woman, not from the ovary of the lady, but مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ from the semen of the man. It was ununderstandable, uncomprehendable. Today's science teaches that the decision of a girl or boy is made by the chromosomes. And the female has double X chromosome, and the male has X and Y. And there's a need of a Y to attribute feminism, or whether the child is going to be a male. So subhanAllah, by the scientific fact revealed today, it just affirms what the Quran al-Kareem has said. In Surah An-Naml, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the ant. He says, لَيَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُ. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam will trample you, O ant. The little ant speaks to his peers and his colleagues, go into your hole because Sulaiman is coming to trample you. And at that time, subhanAllah, the ants went into their hole. There was a German scholar that found fault in this ayah. And what he said? He said the word hafama yahtimu comes to break glass. If you take a Coca-Cola bottle and you break it, the crushing sound of glass, that's the word hafama in the Arabic language. The appropriate word should have been layadussannakum. Dasta yadussu means to trample. So Sulaiman yadussannakum is going to trample you. Why did Allah Ta'ala have to use such a sophisticated word of breaking glass? And his argument stood for a very long time, until recently science discovered that the red ant, which was in question in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that huge red ant, the anatomy of that ant is 80% crystal. 80% crystal glass. So if you crush a red ant and you amplify with modern day technology and instruments, you amplify the noise that is caused by hitting a red ant, it's exactly the sound of breaking a glass bottle. Look at how deep the Quran al-Kareem is going, how sophisticated and how accurate it is. Let's just, there's so many different miracles and we can go through and through. Let's just look at the different angle of the Quran al-Kareem, the words of the Quran al-Kareem. How many days in the year? 364, 365. The word yawm, al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum. The word yawm appears in the Quran al-Kareem 365. How many days in the year? How many moons in a year? 12. The word moon, qamar, appears in the Quran 12. Dunya, this world, is mentioned 115 times in the Quran al-Kareem. And akhirah, equally is also mentioned 115 times in the Quran. The word iman is mentioned 25 times in the Quran. And the word kufr, the same amount of times. The word zakat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give zakat, Allah will give you barakah. The word zakat is mentioned 32 times. And the word barakah is also 32 times in the Quran. This is mind-boggling. This, when I read, I was taken aback. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions insan, human being, 65 times in the Quran. How many times? 65, he mentioned the word insan, human being. And then the different materials that he built insan with. So Allah ta'ala mentions soil, sand, 17 times. He mentions sperm, 12 times. He mentions embryo, 6 times. He mentioned the lump of flesh, mudra, 3 times. He mentioned bone, 15 times. He mentioned flesh, 12 times. 12 times flesh, 15 times bone, 3 times lump of flesh, 6 times embryo, 12 times sperm, 17 times soil. 17 plus 12 plus 6 plus 3 plus 15 plus 12 is exactly 65 times the amount of times he mentioned in Islam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا. If this Quran was from anyone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there would be much inconsistencies in it. But the fact that there's no inconsistencies in the Quran Kareem, if outwardly it's seen as an inconsistency because of the lack of your own knowledge, go and that is a sign that now go and research. I'm concluding. There's so many other ayat that we can talk about, but I'm concluding. Allah Ta'ala says, "Kullama nadijat juluduhum badalnahum juludan ghayraha liyadhuqul adhab." In Jahannam, when the Jahannami will come, every time his skin burns out, we will peel the skin off and a new skin will form. So lately people thought that the nervous system is only in the flesh and has nothing to do with the skin. But recently, it has been discovered that yes, the flesh has its own nervous system and the skin also has feeling. And this is proven from this ayah 1400 years ago. Allah Ta'ala speaks about Abu Jahl when he was fighting with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was arguing with him. Allah Ta'ala says, نَاصِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ فَلْيَجْعُ نَادِيَةَ نَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةِ. That we will catch him on his head, on his forehead, and we will pull him. Why? Because he has two qualities. كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ. He's a vilaya and khati'ah. His brain is leading him astray. Today, after studying the entire brain, where does a man make the decision of right and wrong? It could be somewhere at the back. It could be on the side, it could be in the front, on the left. But we learn through science that the portion of the brain that is responsible of making crucial decisions, absolutely important decisions, is the front part of the brain. And because Abu Jahl used the front part of his brain to make a decision against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah refers to him as khati'ah. He made the wrong decision, and because he made the wrong decision with the front part of his brain, Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, we will catch him on the front part of his head. Exactly where he made the decision wrong, that part will be caught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by the malaika. Now at that time, who knew what the significance of Allah catching him on the top part of his head in front? But today, since we learned that this is the part of the brain responsible for making such decisions, we can now relate why Allah has mentioned that in specific. And not, he could just say the whole head, you'll catch him by his head and sling him in Jahannam. No, the front part, Allah Ta'ala was very, very explicit in that. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. We have made the skies with much strength and we are expanding it. The universe, the atmosphere is every day expanding. Edwin Hubble confirms by means of a giant telescope in 1929 that the world is expanding. And that was then confirmed. Because when a star comes closer to Earth, it has more of a violet color. And when it moves away from Earth, it has more of a red color. And subhanAllah, the scientists are saying that the stars are developing more of a reddish color than a violet color. So that means the stars are moving away from Earth rather than near it. So when the stars are all moving away from Earth, what's the meaning? It's expanding. That's what Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. We are expanding all the time. Allah Ta'ala says that we have created man from alaq. And alaqa is a leech, a bug, something that, you know, hangs on something. And if you really see the fetus in its first few days, of how if subhanAllah latches upon the womb of his mother, there's no better way of explaining a fetus than an alaq, a bug, or a leech that hangs and latches upon something. I have papers over papers and many, many different miracles of the Quran. But my dear respected elders, this is just a little synopsis of where I wanted to open a window to show you how many different miracles lies in the Quran. And no matter how you try to and endeavor to try to encompass them, they will just increase as time goes. So my call to you is study the Qur'an al-Kareem. Make the Qur'an al-Kareem part of your life. Recite the Qur'an al-Kareem. Whether we understand the Qur'an or don't understand the Qur'an al-Kareem, it's of benefit. I've read a story and a waqiyah, and I'm concluding, an incident of a man that would go every day to work. And as he should go to work, he would pass the specific city, village. And the people one day stopped him and said, "We are ignorant people, we don't have knowledge of deen. Someone passed away, could you please help us to bury this person?" So he said, "Okay." So he went and he buried the person, and he was working in a very important office, and some important documents fell out in the grave. Buried the person, and he went to office, he realized, "I lost my documents." And it was not possible to carry on without those documents. He came back, he said, "People, I asked you to bury, read the janazah salah, you didn't have a sheikh. I asked you to do all that. Now my documents fell in the grave, just help me to take it out." So he said, "We have to re-dig the grave." He said, "Please." When they re-dug the grave, there was a beautiful fragrance that was emitting. And when they opened the grave, the man was smiling. It was evident he was in Jannah. So they asked, "What did this man do that Allah Ta'ala granted him this grace?" Subhanallah, pedestal. So they went, he had a daughter, they asked the daughter. And when they asked the daughter said, "My father shouldn't be tahajjud. He shouldn't do much good as, you know, normal people do. But one thing, he had an affection to the Quran. And he could not read the Quran. He was ignorant. He didn't even know Arabic. And every day he would open the Quran. And he would put his finger over the ayat and said, 'Ya Allah, I don't know what to say here, but whatever you said is the truth. Oh Allah, this ayah, I don't know what you said, but whatever you say, I believe it is the truth. This ayah, what you said, I don't know, but I believe it is the truth.'" On that alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much. I imagine if you endeavor to learn it, to understand it, and understand the messages of the Quran. And I conclude by this last incident. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always protect his Quran. I think I mentioned it in one of the bayans before, but perhaps there were people that don't know, who were not present, I mentioned it again. Allama Naqshbandi rahmatullah, Naqshbandi da'amat barakatuhu, Zulfiqar Naqshbandi, he's from Pakistan, he spent many years in America, in California. He once came to South Africa and I was there and I heard this incident from him. He said that when the communists in Russia fell, he went to Russia for the revival of the Quran al-Kareem, to bring the importance of the Quran al-Kareem again among the people. And for the communist rule of so many years, it was not possible for anyone to recite the Quran, let alone recite the Quran. Arabic was banished in Russia. A man could not even have Arabic writing in his house. So Allama Zulfiqar says when he went there, he advertised in the local newsletters that whoever knows some Quran al-Kareem, please come forward. Why? So we can read the Salatul Taraweeh. And he said, "Really to my heart, I thought not one person will come. Because communist group, he said, to my amazement, in 1 week, 1,400 of us came. He said, I was baffled. When the Quran was, you know, banned, when Arabic was not allowed, where did 1,400 of us come from? And he said, they explained that their fathers would make a basement in the house, put food and water inside, put the hafiz with a few children and close it up. And then they would put swine and they would put wine on the walls to create an atmosphere of, you know, sin. So when the soldiers would come, they would think, oh, they're passing here. There's wine, there's swine, there couldn't be anything beyond, and they would walk away. Allah tells in the Quran al-Kareem, بَعْضِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةُ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبْلِهِ الْعَذَابُ. The inside is rahmah, the outside is adab. Sometimes, Mawlana Zulfiqar says, his kuffar told him, when they would open those basements after several months, janaza would come out. But on that sacrifice, they learned the Quran al-Kareem. And those same kuffar, if you ask them to read the Quran as such in Arabic form, they don't know how to read. But they learned it off the heart, from heart to heart. They memorized it. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of His Quran al-Kareem. It's His special word. His special word. And when we're reading the Quran al-Kareem, we should all the time think that we're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're actually speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no time, there's so much more to say, but anyway, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to love the Quran al-Kareem, to love for the Quran al-Kareem, to understand the Quran al-Kareem, and to appreciate the Quran al-Kareem. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والعمل والنية إنك على كل شيء قدير يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم آمن روحاتنا وسر عوراتنا اللهم اجعل القرآن ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء همومنا وهمومنا اللهم وفقنا أن نتلو القرآن آناء الليل وآناء النهار ارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم يسر ولا تعسر وتمنا بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح لا إله إلا أنت الحليم الكريم سبحان رب العرش العظيم نسألك من موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل جر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ويسرنا يا رب العالمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله. For more lectures, visit slhub.com.